Lord, you have the words of everlasting life. We had in the responsorial psalm from Psalm 19, which talks so beautifully about the law, the decrees, the rules that the Lord has given us. You have the words of everlasting life. When we think about the law that God has given us, through the commandments and through the teachings of Holy Mother Church, do we see these laws, these words, as the key to everlasting life? Or do we see them as harnessing our freedom, as taking away our ability to live the life that we want to live, and we have to give up so many things in order to be a good Catholic? Do we truly believe that the words of the Lord are the key to everlasting life? Or do we just go through the motions, suffering through the strife of trying to follow all the rules? Do we really understand the foundation of why we have these rules, why we have these laws, these commandments, these decrees, these precepts, all those things, all those words that Psalm 19 uses? And if you go to Psalm 119, the entire psalm, the longest book, the longest chapter of the Bible, is all about the law and the decrees of the Lord and how they are the keys to life, the keys to freedom, how they do delight the heart. Do we truly believe this? You know, when a young man and a young woman start to date, in a way we can say that they surrender part of their freedom. I will no longer date other girls. I will no longer do this and that. When a man and woman get married, they surrender part of that freedom in order to honor the covenant in which they have entered into. The last 2 weeks in the first reading, we've been hearing about the covenant that God was making with his people, with Noah, how never again will the flood destroy the earth. But the ark, the rainbow in the sky, would be a sign of God's covenant with his people. And last week, when Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son, God reiterated that covenant of land and prosperity to those people who were faithful. God entered into the covenant, and we all have that lived experience. When I go to work for McDonald's, I'm not going to be advertising Burger King. There are certain things that I do when I enter into a relationship that on one hand might seem to limit my freedom, but in essence, it allows me to fully live that covenant, to fully live that relationship. And this is why God gave us the commandments. Not to hinder us, not to destroy us, but to set the parameters in which we can truly and fully live out our relationship with him. To make sure he's first and primary in our life, so that we can love God with a whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then we can love our neighbor as ourselves. The commandments allow us. Those of you who are parents, you know you must set rules for your children. Not to damage them, but so that they can grow and prosper into fully functioning human beings. So that they can become perfect. Not in the sense that they're flawless and never commit a sin, but perfection, meaning they fulfill the purpose for which they were made. The laws, the rules, the decrees allow the human person, the heart of the human person that at the end of the gospel says that Jesus knows so well. That St. Augustine says that he's closer to ourselves than we are to ourselves. This God who formed us and created us, this God who knows what we need, sets the rules so that we can grow and flourish and prosper. But we also know how easy it is to forget the rules or to know the rules and disobey them anyway. And this is the sins of the fathers. This is the condition of the Israelite people, those who were chosen to be a city on a hill, a light to the nations, proclaiming to the world how great it was to be in a covenant relationship with the Father. That was their mission. God chose them to be a light to the nations. But how often we read in the Old Testament, they were unfaithful to that covenant. And they gave themselves over to idolatry and infidelity to the pagan gods. So the Lord was always trying to steer his people back. They had been in slavery in Egypt. And if you remember the first line from that first commandment, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery." He's reminding them that he is a God who sets you free. And so because you are now free, in order to maintain your freedom, here are 10 words to follow. That's what the Decalogue, 10 words. So we say commandments, but it's the same word as word, Decalogue. Log is logos. The logos became flesh and dwelt among us. So when Jesus say, "I will destroy the temple and build it up again in my own body in 3 days," it's that word of God that was given to the Israelites that has become flesh in the very person of Jesus Christ that dwells among us. But because the Israelites and because the Jews had forgotten who they were, had forgotten their relationship, they began to abuse the temple. The temple was designed to illustrate their relationship with God. At the very center was the Holy of Holies. And then there was the court for the priests, then the court for the men, then the court for the women, then the court for all the Jews. And the large platform around it was the court of the Gentiles. For even those who are not part of the promise were able to come and get kind of close to Jesus or to God, to the temple, and in some form offer worship. Because the temple, like the Israelites, was supposed to be a light to the nations. But the Jews, as we heard in the gospel, had turned it into a marketplace. They were not fulfilling their mission. The Gentiles were not able to come and worship their God because their territory, their area that was given to them was being used for unholy purposes. And this is what riled the anger of Jesus. And this wasn't just an emotional response like we experience anger. Jesus was God. He never lost the fullness of who he was. So when he decided, when he chose to be angry, it's because it was a righteous act. Because of the defilement of the temple. I will destroy this temple and build it up. For zeal for my Father's house consumes me. This season of Lent is a time of preparation. Mostly it's a time of preparation for those non-baptized who are preparing for full entry, full initiation into the church on the Easter Vigil, as they are baptized, confirmed, and receive the Holy Eucharist for the first time. It's also a time for us who have been baptized to renew our journey to faith, to remind ourselves that in our baptism, we have become the temple of the living God. And so we examine ourselves. And if we have to, we allow God's anger to rile up within us at the times we've defiled our temple. And we give Jesus permission to come into our own hearts, our own lives, to drive out the money changers, to drive out all of the defilement that we've allowed into our hearts. Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are called to be a light to the nations. And when we allow ourselves to be defiled, when we don't follow the commandments, when we don't follow the laws, we don't follow those precepts that allow us to flourish in our humanity, then we're not able to be a light to the nations. We give a false witness to the world about what it means to be a baptized Catholic, a disciple of Jesus Christ. This season of Lent is to help us recapture that image, to allow Jesus to form that whip, to drive out the unholiness, the defilement within us, so that we can be holy. Do we believe that the words of the Lord are the key to everlasting life? Do you entrust yourself to Jesus? Have you given him permission to take possession of your entire life? This season of Lent is the perfect time to recommit or to commit for the first time. Many of us go through life and have never made that decision to really give myself to Jesus. I just go through the motions, doing the very minimum I have to hopefully get by. That's not what Jesus wants for you. Many of us carry burdens because of the wounds of our past sins, the wounds from the times we did not fulfill the commandments. We carry burdens from sickness, from family members, from broken relationships, from problems in our jobs, from difficulties in school. We carry burdens. Allow the Lord to clean those for you as well. He wants to bring us to perfection, to wholeness, to a healthy relationship, to fulfill the promise that he's given us that he will be our God and he will never abandon us nor forsake us. And it's through the words of the Lord that we receive this everlasting life, that we are set free from the chains that bind us, that we have the power to turn away from sin. We have the freedom to say yes. So yes, in a way, we do have to give up a little bit of our freedom to enter into this relationship with Jesus. But it's not true freedom. True freedom is to live in a right relationship with Jesus Christ, to give yourself to him every day, to each morning when you wake up, to renew your promise, to renew your covenant, to say yes to the Lord. Do you believe that the words of the Lord are your key to everlasting life?